صلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
الحمد لله, it's nice to always a most joyous occasion to reunite the hearts that we've remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with, especially in the spaces that we've remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with. As soon as we come here, this is the first memory that I get, and I think for my children as well. This is the place that we remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no other reason we ever came here except to remember Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So imagine what this looks like from the heavens, this place, and all the places we've remembered Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we get that feeling when we return to a place where we've joined with hearts, where we've remembered Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot compare to that feeling anywhere in the world before you even go to such a place. Our hearts long. This is why people go to the rihlas with Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, and obviously when they go to the Haramain, when they reunite with their beloveds, with and remembering the most beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in such places. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to reunite again and again with such causes, and only to remember Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and depart for the same reason, reuniting again, inshallah. So I wanted to continue with what we were talking about last week, because it's a very important, we were talking about the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, in the part that is the potent aspect of tasawwuf. It's the summation of tasawwuf. When Jibreel alayhi salam, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about man, and he, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "And ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah, fa'in lam takun tarah, fa'innahu yarak." Ihsan is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see Him. And if you can't do that, if you don't see Him, then know that He sees you. So the first part, as we said, it's the arifillah. This is the level the Gnostic is at. The Gnostic sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every moment. He's in baqa. So this is why it doesn't matter what you do next to an arifillah. He doesn't even, he knows you're there, but he's with his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it doesn't really matter what you are doing. He is with his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why, as the ulama progress in their life, they're more harsh, you'll notice, with us, with the ummah, when they're younger. And then as they expand and get older, you'll notice they're not as harsh with us anymore. Because they're just in baqa. They were first in fana, and so they have to reprimand us, rebuke us, and so on. But the elders, the arifin, they're just in baqa with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they're really not into rebuking us anymore or anything. They're just in this hudur with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in that state. And so they give to us with that exuding. They don't need to say anything to us. This is why it doesn't matter. This is people who, non-Muslims, who even visit the Arifin, they're drawn like a magnet with the Arif Billah. They don't have to say a word. And I know personally people like this who went to Syria, for instance, and saw Sheikh Shahuri, for instance, Rahimullah, and didn't know anything about him, but were just drawn to him, took Shahada. I mean, I know, I met a person like this, a friend of my husband's. So it's incredible. And my husband's Sheikh, he has many non-Muslims that were drawn to him that way, that just passed by. He's one of the imams of Masjid al-Aqsa. And so you have a lot of non-Muslims visiting there, but they're just drawn to him, Sidi Jamal Rafai, and they just take Shahada. So they don't have to say a word. This is the level they're at. They feel this penetration in their heart. Their heart is reverberating with dhikr Allah, So just pounding out, you know, like in the cartoons where they show before the kids with the hearts that are pounding when they're next to a girl that they like. Well, that's how their hearts are literally in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may not know, the non-Muslim obviously doesn't know this is what's about to hit them when they pass by in Arifullah, but they're struck. And, you know, they've fallen in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And their whole life has changed after that. So this is the magnitude of this hadith and what Jibreel alayhi salam, when he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this witnessing. So now the second aspect. So that's the Arif Billah in that first part about worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see Him. Now we have to also keep in mind when we say Anta'budallah, so it's not just about when we're doing the acts of ibadah. That's not just what we're talking about. Because what is Islam? Islam is every moment. So we're not just talking about when you do ibadah, when you do salah, or when you recite the Quran. We're not talking about only those moments you have that hudud. And that's witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying every moment is like that, or should be like that. That's what ihsan is. Because ultimately, you want to get higher and higher. Obviously, you start off with wanting your, at least your ibadah to be like this, inshallah ta'ala. But the Arif Billah, what we're talking about, is every moment is like that. And this is why you'll hear them say, you know, it's really interesting how the dunyawi people speak, and alhamdulillah, if you sit with the ulama and the arifin, how they speak. Because when the commoners sit and they look at pictures of their past. It's so interesting because they're always saying, oh, look at how good, see how good, pretty or nice they used to look. And this is ajib, very ajib. To the arif or the awliya, their best moment is now. It's not the past. What a pathetic life. If you're looking at the past and saying, those were your best days, what kind of life is that? You think your Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is created your life in such a way that only the youth would be better? No, it's not like so. Not at all. You're living your life entirely wrong. If that's the way you sit and you think your past, your youth was better, the arifin, their best moments are their as they get older. It's the joyous thing in Islam that we have. The best moments are yet to come always. And that's what we should strive for, inshallah. It's one of the most beautiful things that the ulama say. And I heard it directly from Sheikh Muhammad. It was so beautiful to hear him when I first heard him say that. He said, because I asked him, how are you? He said, Asra, every moment is better. It was just so beautiful to hear that. He said, every moment is better and better. SubhanAllah. I mean, you don't hear these things coming from the common folk. And it's sad when you sit with the commoners and you see the exact opposite kind of thinking. They sit and cry and look at like what things, joyous things they've done in the past. And this is why also, by the way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them tawfiq in their old age. They're still very youthful. Like they say of the ulama that in Sham, if anyone of you has been to Damascus, those alleys that are huge hills, mountains actually, and the elders, they live usually like Sheikh Shahuri, Rahimullah, used to live on top of this huge mountain. It's a mountain. But the youth can't even trespass that mountain. They don't even have the aspiration to. And the elders all just find it. And it's just amazing to see. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to those in our ummah who remember Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just amazing. And it's just very astounding that people can sit, as we were talking about last week, and, you know, call different people and go from talking to one group of people or friends here and there and talk, and this idle prattle. But they don't have this desire to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, it's just very ajeeb. How could you just go from talking one person to another? Where's your time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where's the desire for Allah? And we were talking last week about some of the salaf who they could, you would feel the, not all of them were like this. We should make a qualification. Like, for instance, Sayyidina Shaykh, our teacher, Hafidhullah, he's amazing in his social etiquette. You would never know that he has angst to be alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he makes you feel so comfortable and he's so incredibly socially adept. You would never ever feel, because this is the sunnah. But some of the salaf, they didn't hide the fact that they didn't like to be with people. This is what we were talking about last week. And people would feel that. They would, if they had a visitor, and say, it's as if you don't want me to come and visit you. And they would say, yeah, I don't. Because I just, and then they would be asked, well, don't you get lonely? And they would reply, how could I get lonely when I'm with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we forget that our angst and our anguish and our desire should be constantly to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So obviously, the shahadati way is wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you. So sometimes we have to be with the crowd of people. Sometimes we have to be very social. The shahadati way is to, your route to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wherever He put you. This is why it's reflected in our Shaykh. He's extremely socially adept if he happens to be amongst people. And then when he's alone, you'll see that that's what he desires. Or if you ask, as I was telling someone last week, that who had asked me, what did I speak about last week? So I was telling them that, you know, I spoke about how the ulama desire to be alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they reminded me that Sheikh Muhammad Hafidhullah's first wife, she was very blunt, a candid woman, rahmatullah alayha. She would tell some of the students, sisters, when we were privately with her, you know, your Sheikh doesn't really like people. She would just say that candidly. But this is what she meant, is that his desire is to be alone with his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this aspect, it's not just about in worship. It's witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every moment. So that's where the arif billah is. And then, as we said, so if we don't have that level, then at least to know that He sees us. And of course, this is the summation of everything in our life. And this should protect us from getting near anything questionable. And waliyadu billah, protecting us from sins. And remember this, that He is witnessing us. And there's many anecdotes about this, as we know the story that we tell with a child that is told to go, and all the children are told to go and eat this candy. There they can go and eat it alone. So all the children go and find a place to leave it alone, except for one child. And he comes back and he tells his teacher, I couldn't find anywhere to be alone. And this was someone who was given inspiration, because he realized every place he was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ultimately, this is why this is the summation of tasawwuf. Because if we remember that, then we've covered the four-fifths of mu'amalat and fiqh. If we just keep that in mind, that is the summation of fiqh as well. Because if we remember all of these mu'amalat, why do we study this? It's remembering the rights of other people. That's four-fifths of jurisprudence. And one-fifth is ibadah. So all of it can be summed up in this matter about witnessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or realizing that He's witnessing us. That's it. So it's a, and when we forget this is when we get into trouble. So I also wanted to talk about, at a higher level than remembering Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what, how this relates to hope and remembering Him. Abu Yazid Rahimullah, he said, I've never remembered you without forgetting you, with the forgetfulness of honoring. So he's saying that it's not because of forgetting you that I'm remembering you. It's because I'm honoring you. And it's not the forgetfulness of neglect. So this was their level of remembrance. It's not we at a basic level, we remember because we forget. But the Salaf, they remember in honoring him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because they forget. Or another way, Bunun, Rahimullah, he said, the world is only sweet with his remembrance. The next life is only sweet with his pardon. And the garden is only sweet with his vision. So all of it is about remembering him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the summation of what we get when we remember these core aspects. And I'll end with what Authority, Rahimullah, said. It's not because I forget you that I do a great deal of your dhikr, but because that's what runs on my tongue. So that's the highest level. It's just because he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, deserves it. And we need it. And in addition, in terms of lovers, remembering that in terms of the dunya, we have these examples like Romeo and Juliet and all these other dunyawi lovers. And how does that benefit? It's usually just an example to be used, and it doesn't go further than that. This example of love between the two lovers. But anytime we talk about love in terms of the akhirah, it benefits everyone. So when we talk about those who meet for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we get together like these gatherings of dhikr, it benefits everyone, whether they come and join us or they happen to just wish to be here. It benefits everyone. Or they happen to hear stories of those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or love each other because they're brethren in tariqah. It benefits everyone. It's like the Niagara Falls. Yeah. There's no way we can stop such a love. Sure. So this is why I often write about this, because it benefits the non-Muslims as well to hear about it. They don't have such a love. And this is what used to draw them into the fold of Islam, the kind of love that they would see in tariqah, yeah, amongst tariqah members. And so we need to bring back these examples in small ways of how we show each other our love and the things that we do selflessly, inshallah. The world needs to see this and have examples of it, selfless acts of kindness, of altruism. We need to share these things that happen in tariqah whenever we hear it, because it truly draws the non-Muslims into it, and the world needs this. It's a void right now all over. If you look around at what's happening, it's just tragedy everywhere in terms of stories. Unfortunately, anytime you go to email, you have to read those stories. I wish there was a way to block some of those stories, but every time you go on, you hear these horrible things of stories that are going on. We have to watch and protect our children. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect them and us all. But I also wanted to mention that we have to stop compartmentalizing our life as well, not have these schisms. Because if you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is our goal, with every moment to remember Him, then everything else falls into place. So we don't have to wonder, oh, am I being normal, or this person probably doesn't like me to talk about this. I pretty much talk about the same thing everywhere. Probably would be considered boring. Actually, when we went to buy furniture, and you know, my children just are astounded that I talk to these random people about the same thing that I talk to everyone else about. Yeah, I was talking to him about my book, Fetal Illness, and he was really intrigued. An hour and a half, he said, Mom, Daria, I'm sorry, Daria, she said, Mom, you bought the furniture in 5 minutes, and in an hour and a half, he listened to you about your book. Well, I can't help it. He was interested. And really, he was really interested because he said, he started off saying, you know, I always wanted to ask about that hijab. So that was the doorway for me. And then he said he had a Muslim friend, and so, you know, I had to give him the time. So, you know, it can be boring to those who are with me, but to those who are not, I mean, I'm new. It's new, it's not listening to them. But anyway, like Mark Twain said, if what you think about all day and what you speak about, it's all the same. You don't have to worry about having a bad memory. You just do. So,
just put stop when she's done at the kid.
Jazakallahu anna sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.